I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 31. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 11 of chapter 31 as we continue in our series in Exodus, Free at Last. Listen to the word of the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood, to work in every craft. And behold, I have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. And I have given to all able men ability that they may make all that I have commanded you, the tent of meeting, the ark of the testimony, the mercy seat that is on it, and all its furnishing, all the furnishings of the tent, the table and its utensils, and the pure lampstand with all its utensils, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the basin and its stand, the finely worked garments, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons for their service as priests, and the anointing oil and the fragrant incense for the holy place. According to all that I have commanded you, they shall do." This is the word of God. Father, we pray now as we sit, all of us, under the authority of your word, that you would do that work by the power of the Spirit through your word, and shape us and mold us into the image of your Son and our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Charles Spurgeon once said, "Without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are as ships without the wind, branches without sap, and like coals without fire, we are useless." While there are many things that we can do on the basis of the capabilities God has placed in us as human beings, when it comes to ministering in God's kingdom, we can indeed do nothing without the Spirit of God. Bezalel and Aholiab and all those who would work under their leadership, though endowed with natural abilities, we're not going to build God's house and all its components sheerly on the basis of their human skill. To build God's house, the house in which God, through his priests, would minister to his people, these brothers were going to need something greater than their natural and learned talents and skills. They were going to need more than their own wisdom and their own intelligence and their own craftsmanship. While it's true that only Bezalel here is noted as being filled with the Spirit, what he passes on to the others in crafting the tabernacle and its components is from the Spirit of God. Thus, whether or not these men are specifically filled with the Spirit changes nothing about the need for the Spirit's guidance in the ministry that these men are going to carry out. And of course, we know that what is taught in the Old Testament through the specific instances of God's filling a person or persons with his Spirit comes to fulfillment through Jesus in the church. For now, it's not just some who are given this distinction, but everyone who has their faith in Jesus, everyone who is in Jesus, according to Paul and others, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Ministry, what I'm saying is ministry in the church and through the church into the world is not a function of mere human wisdom or intelligence or skill. Rather, it is the work of the Spirit of God in each one of us, empowering us to use the gifts God has given us for his glory, for the good of his people, and for our witness to this world. The challenge for us, of course, is in humbly receiving this truth of our need for the Spirit's empowerment. It is relying on and resting in that power of the Spirit and not solely in our human abilities. Bezalel and Aholiab and those under them had natural capabilities also given to them by God, by the way, but those capabilities were not enough to do the work of God. And neither are our capabilities enough to do the work of God in our generation. And so we must humble ourselves before God. We must humble ourselves before the Spirit of God, remembering the words of the Apostle Paul. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The construction of the tabernacle, although laid out by God himself, was not going to be an easy task. And since Bezalel and Aholiab would be working with and alongside others, we can imagine that there might be challenges that would need to be overcome. This is an implication and not stated directly in the text, yet what is clear from the text is that Bezalel would be leading this whole project and was going to need the Spirit for every aspect of it, including leading the team in their work. Now, here's a question for all of us in this room who have our faith in Jesus. Do we recognize our need for the Spirit? Do we recognize our need for the Spirit? Do we recognize that without him, we can do nothing of value in ministry? Or do we actually think, in truth, that it's us? That it's because we went to school, because we got advanced degrees, because we have written articles, because people listen to us, because we have gained a following, because people seek us out. Is it us? Or is the Spirit of God at work in us that enables us to do the work that God has called us to? The call is to receive the Spirit's help as we labor for the Lord, recognizing that he is God's gift to empower us in the work that God has called us to. You cannot do the work of God without the Spirit of God. Cannot do the work of God without the Spirit of God. And so I just want to talk for a few moments about how the Spirit empowers us in ministering for the Lord and laboring for the Lord. What the Spirit gives us, what he empowers us toward in laboring for the Lord. And I'm going to talk first this morning about wisdom. In addition to pure ability, Bezalel is given wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. There are allusions in this to God's own work of bringing the world into existence. T. Desmond Alexander writes this. He says, as Middleton remarks, these verbal resonances suggest that Bezalel's discerning artistry and tabernacle building images God's own construction of the cosmos. Bezalel, Aholiab, and all those with them in bringing the tabernacle, the place where God will meet with his people into existence. In order for them to do that, they are going to need the wisdom of God that comes from the Spirit of God. And more than sheer ability, he grants them that wisdom, that is sound judgment and perceiving how every piece fits together within the whole, how to lead the team and knowing who will be best for that for what work, and as well as judgment in making elements where the exact design is not stated. Wisdom and discernment in ministry doesn't come naturally, but it's something that is granted to us by the Spirit of the living God, who can and does see what we can't. He is the one who impresses upon our hearts the will of God. And what I love about this text is the recognition that this wisdom is not just individual, but something that comes within the context of the team. In verse 6, God says this, and behold, I have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan, and I have given to all able men ability that they may make all that I have commanded you. Bezalel may have been the leader, the one given oversight of the work, but he was not the only one given for that work, nor the only one with ability and skill. He would need the other members of the team. He would need the collective wisdom of the group of men designated for this task of building the tabernacle for God's worship. The work of God requires not just skill, but spiritual wisdom, spiritual discernment. And Paul, speaking to that wisdom that the Spirit gives to us, says, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. He is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but he himself is to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And we need this mind of Christ as we build toward the things of Christ in our own generation, toward what the tabernacle represented, a community bound together in the worship and service of God. What I'm saying to you is you need a wisdom that comes outside of yourself. As you labor for the Lord in building toward what God has called us to, we need a wisdom outside of ourselves to help us see things we cannot see, to impress upon our hearts the things that we do not naturally gravitate toward, and to give us judgment in doing what brings pleasure to God and not just to ourselves. Amen, people of God. Wisdom comes from the Spirit of God, who in the new covenant fills all those who have their faith in Christ. And how do we get this wisdom from the Spirit? James tells us when he writes, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him." All that is required, James says, to receive it is faith. Trust in God. And here's how we know if we are walking in that wisdom of the Spirit. James tells us, the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And the harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. We know we are walking in God's wisdom when it leads us individually and corporately toward peace and gentleness and reason and mercy and the like. If, on the other hand, we are walking in the wisdom that is from below, then there will be, as James says, jealousy and selfish ambition. We avoid these when we ask the Spirit to fill us with God's wisdom and not our own. And that means asking the Spirit to help us to desire what God desires and not the desires of our own flesh. And this call is actually a challenge for all of us. For while we are no longer under the dominion of the flesh, if our faith is in Christ, we have not escaped the presence of the flesh. And so we must always be prayerful, seeking God's wisdom, the wisdom that comes from the Spirit, to judge rightly in every area of our lives. Amen, people of God. The Spirit gives wisdom. He fills us by giving us wisdom, but also by drawing us faithfully back to the Word of God. Twice in this text, God reminds Moses of something that Bezalel and his team would need to remember as they build the tabernacle. They would need to remember God's commands. In verse 6 and verse 11, God speaks to the making of the tabernacle and doing all that I have commanded you. In other words, there are written instructions, Moses, for this tabernacle that must be followed. This is not just a matter of doing what you want to do. Yes, these men have ability and all sorts of crafts, yet their artistry is to be grounded in the written instructions of the Lord. What matters is not so much their skill, but God's words. Follow my commands. Do it the way I have said. Indeed, the wisdom I just spoke of is a wisdom, a judgment based on what God has said. The Spirit doesn't just impart any kind of judgment, but a judgment based on what God himself has said. The Spirit, who is God, leads us in the things of God. See, it doesn't matter how smart or skilled we think we are. If we're going to do God's work, then ensuring that we are grounding that work in his word is crucial. What does Jesus himself say regarding the Spirit's work to his disciples? When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Spirit of God doesn't work against the Word of God, but rather by and with that Word, impressing its truths on our hearts in order that we might do what pleases God, that which is in keeping with God's Word. And I don't mean in keeping with His Word in the proof texting way. where we pull out parts that we think fit what we want to do. But what I mean, that which is in keeping with the whole counsel of God. Bezalel and Aholiab are to lead in the building of God's tabernacle according to all that God has commanded. They don't get to pick what parts they are going to do God's way and what parts they are going to do their way. They are to pay attention to the whole of his counsel as it relates to the building of his house and build it according to the plan he has laid out. We are to do the same as we build God's house in our day. The church should look like what God designed it to be, not just what we want it to look like. It should look like what God himself has declared it to be. And so our guide in all matters of faith and practice is the word of the living God, the Spirit who is at work in us. By and with that word will guide us into the things of God. So if you heard me say in the past, Christians must be those who know, understand, and apply the word of God to every area of our lives. We must be people who are trained, not just in those portions of the word that we like or that we think line up with our already preconceived ideas, but even and maybe especially those that challenge us. Do all that I have commanded you, says the Lord. Do all that I have commanded you. Don't just do all that you want to do. What this would require of Bezalel and Aholiab and all those with them and from us is a fruit of the Spirit, which is meekness, humility. Indeed, James tells us, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Amen. It doesn't matter from the spiritual standpoint how skilled, intelligent, or wise those building God's tabernacle were. Ministry in God's world isn't grounded in human skill, intelligence, wisdom. It's rooted in what God says. Indeed, from a human standpoint, the wisdom of God is generally considered foolishness by the world's standards of judgment. So the question really for you this morning is your heart humble? Is your heart meek as you seek the Spirit? Do you come ready to receive God's word and what it has to say to you, or do you come ready to resist, especially in those places where it challenges you or challenges what you believe to be true versus what God himself says is true? The Spirit of God who fills us with wisdom, and that wisdom he fills us with is a wisdom that is rooted in the word of God. But the filling of the Spirit is not just wisdom rooted in the word, it's also wisdom rooted in the word that leads us toward service. I referenced this in the intro, so let me flesh it out more in this final point. And speaking to the things that are designed for Aaron and his sons, we're told this in verse 10. And the finely worked garments, the holy garments for Aaron, the priest, and the garments of his sons for their service as priests. This verse reminds us that the house of God, in addition to being a house of meeting, is also a house of service. The priests are servants in God's house. They are to mediate between God and his people. They're to minister in such a way that the people's relationship with God is enhanced, and by extension, their relationship with each other. God's house, in other words, is a house of service, a house where ministry takes place, where people are cared for and reminded that they are recipients of the care of God in covenant with them. That 1 Corinthians passage I mentioned in the intro should be the defining characteristic of every New Testament church. It should be a characteristic of this church. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Or consider Paul's words in Romans 12, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ. and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. You may not know what your gift of service is, but I want to encourage everyone in here that if you're a Christian, you have a gift of service. If you are a believer, you have been given a, or maybe some, spiritual gifts. You have a spiritual gift to impart on behalf of the good of the body of Christ. So I want to encourage you this morning, don't sit on that gift. Don't buy the lie that only the paid staff is supposed to do ministry. Don't buy the lie that if you don't have a degree, you don't have a gift. I may be gifted to preach, but others of you are gifted to encourage. Others of you are gifted to administrate. Others of you are gifted to teach. Others of you are gifted to do mercy. Others of you are gifted to help and the like. You are gifted, people of God. You are gifted. God loved you enough to grace you with his Spirit so that you can serve him. Amen. Don't sit on that gift. Paul says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Amen. The Spirit is in you to help you serve. He is in you to help you care for the rest of the body with the gift or gifts he has given you. You have spiritual talents. Even those of you who may consider yourselves the least in this body, you have been given spiritual gifts to be used in this body. A New City is a weaker church if you are not using those gifts in the body. I'm going to say that again. We are a weaker church when those of you who have gifts do not use those gifts for the building up of the body of Christ. Amen, people of God. Amen. So if you're not using your gifts, whatever they are, then we cannot be fully as a body who God is calling us to be. We cannot accomplish our mission fully without every member participating in the life and ministry of the church on a regular basis. And we know that some of you need our help as a leadership team in discovering what those gifts are. And so as we work through the strategic planning process, we will also look for ways to help those who need it discern how God has gifted you for service in the body. Because I want you to know how you're gifted, and I want you to use those gifts to help your brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Others of you already know, though. So I'm encouraging you as the church looks toward the future to consider ways you can plug in, ways that you can use the gifts that God has given you. We need folk who are gifted in communication, gifted in administration, gifted in leadership, gifted in outreach. We need every gift God has given his church to be used for the common good. It wasn't just Bezalel and Aholiab who were gifted. Go back to the text. What does he say? All able people, I have given them the ability to work in all sorts of ways to build my house. And so he has gifted every one of you in all sorts of ways to build his house. Amen, people of God. And I want to thank every single one of you who have used and are using those gifts faithfully in the church. Thank you, because to whatever degree New City has been successful, it has been as those of you who have spiritual gifts have used them for the common good. Praise the Lord for your yielding to the Spirit and the use of your talents to build up the body of Christ. Amen, people of God. Amen. We are filled with the Spirit. We are filled with the Spirit of God to build the house of God, to do ministry, to labor on behalf of the Lord in this world. And what that means, what that spirit in us gives us, is wisdom, grounding in the word of God, and service to one another. Amen, people of God. This is what we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's worship him, thank him, give him praise for the Spirit of God who is in each one of us. Let's pray. Father, we pray and give you glory and honor and thanks because you are the God who has filled every single one of us individually with your Spirit. And by the power of the Spirit, you are guiding us, Lord, as we labor and minister for you in the building of this local community, but also, Lord, as your people across this city and this nation and this world build toward the kingdom of God. I pray, Lord God, that your people here, Father, would know that they are blessed by you and gifted by you, and that they would be empowered by you to use those gifts that you have given them for the common good. I pray that you would bind us together, knit us together, help us, Lord, to discover how you have gifted us as a congregation, as a body, and then help us to use those gifts, Lord, to bring glory to your name and to witness to our neighbors around us. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord, who shed his blood, who died, who gave himself, Lord, that we might be brought back to you, and indeed that the Spirit of God might be poured into each one of us for the purpose of building up your church. So we pray, even now as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, as we're reminded in that supper that we have been united to Christ and through him united to one another through his death, I pray, Lord God, that you would indeed also remind us and empower us toward the newness of life that you call us to as your people. We pray and ask this in the mighty, powerful, and matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.